We're ready?
Is there something, we're all in black. Is it that, what does that mean?
It's winter.
Black's beautiful.
They got a new shirt.
It's easy to, it's easy to clean.
As long as it's not with a certain other color that's matched with it.
And stop at the dollar store and buy
a bunch of Johnny Cash fans.
Yeah.
One in my desk drawer if you ever need one.
I got a new one now. I'm good.
Yeah, Rick's got on his Hawkeye collars. What's up with that?
Okay, we will go ahead and get started. This is the final budget work session.
Well, no, you have you.
Wow, we're combined. Yeah. The 2015 fiscal year, we will start with the Board of Supervisors budget.
Nope.
Start with the board, or you want to start with the auditor?
I think we ought to start with the auditor. It's a lot shorter.
All right.
It's a lot shorter.
Election year.
Yeah, then I can let then I can let some people go back to work. So.
Okay. Works for me.
I didn't have any questions on the revenues.
No. Nope.
We got the $20,000 built in for March 4th, and
I don't get my opening statements.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, you do.
Yes, Lucy, please.
Trying to make it painless on you, Lucy.
Wow. I do have some opening statements. I would like to first commend my staff. I have my management team here. Lisa's choosing to sit over in the recording booth area because she says it's easier for her. But I have Lisa Markley, assistant auditor, Stacey Harridge, real estate deputy, Danny Dunham, who's here from vacation, by the way, to come to our budget session, elections deputy.
Yeah, so I'm very fortunate.
In the audience, I have Chris Andringa. He's the newest member. He's here just to see what the budget work sessions look like. But I think we have over 150 years of experience in our 10-person office, so I'm very fortunate with that. I'm also fortunate to work with such accommodating board. I would like to thank you for the creation of the CIP committee, for your attendance to human resources. That's been very helpful, and something I hope I've heard you mention at other budget work sessions, so I'm going to mention it here, is to work on sort of a countywide look at leasing of office equipment, things like copiers and printers, things like that. So I look forward to working with you once again.
And something that we haven't really looked at, but through the National Association of Counties, there is a purchasing thing that we could probably look at that would save us probably some considerable dollars when it comes to that type of purchasing. And I can get you some of that information. I just haven't had time to pull it up, but I know it's usually mentioned each year as one of the benefits to being a part of NACO that we can at least look at.
I'd also like to express my appreciation for the offices that report directly to you. Facilities in particular has been very useful to us for a number of reasons on the election side, but also just on managing our space and learning how to use that better and smarter. IT has been invaluable, human resources, but just also working with the engineer on drainage issues, working with Deb and Ron on this ongoing mental health issue. Deb Schildroth is also a very good election official, just so you know. So I'm fortunate in my coworkers as well. We've completed some good training this year. Lisa and Stacey are now SEAT certified, which is a statewide election administration training. They don't offer that in even numbered years, only in odd numbered years. So I do plan on sending two new staff members next year, but we have 60% of our staff carries that certification, which is very useful to us. We have a lot of space up here, a lot more than we had when we were downstairs, but we're trying to learn to use that better, to be more flexible, and to respond to the different sort of ebbs and flows of our office. I do have some thoughts on your IT issue. You did speak to the sheriff. And I applaud you for adding another line to the IT budget, because that is a fundamental part of everybody's duties. and how it factors into my future hiring decisions. I think, you know, we have a 10-person office, and I would like to remain a 10-person office. We do have an expectation that people have a certain level of computer skills when they come to the county. I think as we have any staff turnover, I would like to visit with Alyssa to see, you know, if we need more of a database managerial type skill level as opposed to just a simple clerical level. So that's just sort of us growing with technology and the world as it is today. As we enter into the, you know, the legislative season just started this week. I know Wayne sits on the ISAC legislative committee. Just to know how legislative changes from last year really had an effect on us, the business property tax credit has fundamentally changed how we manage certain processes in our office, and we've rolled with that. But just know that things like that do have a just more even than I think it's pretty comparable to what mental health did in terms of how we had to look at budget and finance in our office, is of how we look at real estate and how we work with the two assessor's offices. It's really changed our workload, mainly because it is a credit that is applied in the auditor's year as opposed to in the assessor's year, and it's really changed the workflow for that. There are some very good legislative ideas out there on the election side, technical issues that auditors have been pushing for years that may or may not get brought up because they would get tied perhaps to very political items. But, I ask for your support on lobbying for this part of the ISAC objectives on the election side. If I can ask for your support there. I mean, there are ISAC legislative issues as well as auditors' issues. Outside of this budget, in terms of expense, what's not reflected in here is I am asking for, outside of any cost of living adjustment, that you would entertain a 3% raise for two people in my office. That's Shelley Belisle, who does the minutes. She also does physical inventory. She helps with check payroll and claims, and she's an all-around utility player. I know she pitches in on elections, not just when we're in busy time, but day-to-day, and on real estate when she can. And also Patty Hilleman, who is my real estate technician. Part of that is to reflect the changes that we've had to implement with the business property tax credit, but also I expect in the next year to see some staffing changes on the real estate side. I would like to get her trained so that she's able to help train new people when they come in. I could potentially be at sort of 50% of my real estate staff by this time next year, so I want to anticipate that and so that I can rely on her and not do that after the fact, do that now. So that's to increase Patty and Shelley by 3%, and I did visit with Alyssa Wignall twice about this. I would not change their grades. It's a little over $2,000 annually to do the two of them, about $2,100. And again, I would like to do that regardless of any cost of living adjustments. So in terms of our expense items that you might want to discuss with me, we might want to discuss shifting the general election costs from the supplemental budget to the general fund. That's a decision of the board. We moved it there. We moved general elections to supplemental a couple of years ago. It doesn't have to be paid out of there. Just a thought. I do have some requests for equipment. One of those is a trailer. Cal Pearson, facilities director, bought a trailer. This year, we used it to deliver our election equipment. Just so you know, for the city election, which we do bill out to the cities, we got the cost for transport to a third of what it was in 2011. So We saved the cities almost $1,600 on that side. Now costs in other areas have gone up in terms of printing, publication, things like that. So the overall cost of the election went up a little bit, but it would have gone up a lot, $1,600 more had we not had that trailer. I think we spent just on renting trucks for the general election last year about $1,200. We got those from Budget Rental. That's, you know, that was a lot of Danny's time to arrange that and to keep those. So if we had that, if we had an extra trailer, what we could do is deliver to all of our 43 precincts in one go. That would save not just on rentals, but also the staff time and the temp time. And I think it would pay for itself for us, but it would also really help the schools and the cities for their big elections where we would rent equipment. So,
a couple questions there, Lucy. It was one I was going to get to as we went through the budget. Does facilities have a second truck that can pull the second trailer?
That's not a question I asked Cal. He said if we got a second trailer, though, we could just do it all at once instead of doing two trips. So I assumed that was the case.
Okay. We continue to use the one that facilities has. This
right.
would be a second one. What would it be used for other than elections?
Whatever the county needed it for. I mean, I would need it to be free for a big election time, but I don't know what the hauling needs are for, you know, facilities would use it.
They said they would even store some of their, like, mowers or snow pusher, whatever.
Is this the same one that
Yes.
Yeah. So it would basically be a second one like that. So I guess that's more for the board to decide what else it could be used for.
Well, I think those are...
It is there. It wouldn't just be exclusively for the use of the auditor's office, except during those times when I would make it my exclusive use. If we wanted to put a logo on it that says Story County Auditor and haul it in parades, I wouldn't mind that either.
First of all, a process, I think...
we could use it for satellite voting.
...would mean that we would need to probably work with Cal, you... regarding the type of trailer, again, identifying the usage of it, where it's going to be stored when it's not being used. There are a lot of factors. And then you mentioned the cost for the rentals that we've used over the years. Again, wanting to look at the cost comparison between whether if we didn't buy the trailer and we continue on, what is our projected cost going to be? And then what would we be hoping to not only save by having one,
pay for itself in probably two general election cycles. That's excluding the cost to the entities that we bill out for elections.
Right.
So.
And when you say bill out, that means that the
cities and...
Yeah, the other entities that pay for their elections. We pay for elections when we have federal elections, so primaries and generals. When the schools and the cities have their elections, we bill those costs out to them to the extent that we're allowed. There are certain costs we can't bill out.
And that's the question I have, Lucy. Okay, so if you said $1,200 that we spent to go rent.
That was just purely what we paid to, you know, budget rent.
But then we passed that through.
No, that's actually what we paid ourselves in a general election. I looked at the cost that we saved to the city, just the city election for this past year.
Just with the one trailer we have. Is that what you're telling me?
Right. Okay. With the one trailer. And then we had... I don't know if we had to do two trips or one trip with that. Two trips. So if we could do one trip, then it's, you know, it's even more staff time savings.
Okay, but normally what I'm trying to understand is normally for a city election, mm-hmm. So we saved $1,200. So that's $1,200 that we did not have to bill the cities, or that's $1,200?
No, we saved almost $1,600 on the city election.
Okay.
The cities saved that much money. We paid $2,365 in 2011. For truck transport, mileage, gas, and we billed out $790 this last time.
Okay.
And that was using the trailer.
And that's where I'm getting to, because to me, there's a cost. I mean, clearly it's a, what, $8,500 trailer. There's a cost tied to us using the trailer. The county is the one buying the equipment. And so it just seems to me that there should be some kind of charge going back to whatever entity is running the election. And I'm not saying the same amount it would cost us to go rent a truck.
No, we still bill them. It's just it's less because we don't have, you know, a rental truck. We're using our own equipment. Okay. It was, you know.
So if you've got two trailers, you'll be able to stop renting the trucks?
Right. I mean, yes.
Okay. So then I'm going to ask this because somebody should ask it. What about renting the trailer at that particular time? Because I honestly don't know what other needs that we would have. I don't think there's a huge need for an enclosed trailer. I mean, we've got the one that we can use.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is there a possibility that you could rent, instead of renting a truck, you'd rent a trailer?
And that's a good thought, because I've had to do that recently within this past year, and you can get those really a nice size one, very reasonable for the day, and you know it's worth at least taking a look at in terms of the total cost.
I'm not opposed to the idea of using, you know, eliminating the rentals on the trucks, but I just think if we look into renting a trailer, and if it, you know, and I know that those are, you know, kind of sporadic at best. I don't know, you know, U-Haul comes to mind, and I know that there's one over in Ames. I don't know if there's any other U-Haul dealers in the county, and, you know, it's kind of take what you get when you get there to rent it. So it would take a little bit of, you know, advanced planning to reserve it for when you're going to need it. But
yeah, usually you can do that. And of course, they always ask the insurance, and, you know, they do ask, you know, that it returned in the same condition and so forth. For the number of times that we might use it, for at least through this next year, it would probably be beneficial to at least consider what that cost would be. But then again, if we could look at it in terms of other departments also based on their needs utilizing it, then it may, you know, be a good thing for us. But I just think it's a discussion that if we could maybe spend a little bit more time evaluating, you know, this, it may be worthy of us to then making that decision, just instead of having to make it today, making it a little bit later after we get some more input. But I think obviously having it could be some advantages. I could see conservation wanting to use it. I could see secondary roads wanting to use it. I could see some of our other departments wanting to use it. It just kind of depends on, you know, and where we are.
And the thing with that, then you know, who's going to use it, and then what's it going to be like?
Right, exactly.
When
you get it back. Yeah. It's kind of like the pool cars we used to have. Somebody's supposed to clean it out and make sure it's in good order once they return it. But yeah.
Well, for me, it comes down to two items. One, is it practical to think of renting a trailer? I see that as being, I think it's a good suggestion. I just see it as being really problematic. Second one is, what is our expected years to recoup the investment that we put into the trailer? And the third one that I see is, what, if any, portion of the county's cost of the trailer can be built in to the cost of elections that we provide that are not general elections? Because it seems to me that if we go spend $9,000 on a trailer, then our...
I think 85 is actually a little high. That was, I think, Patty, and just in case, I think the last one was more like $7,000. So.
Yeah, and whatever it is, it just seems to me, at the end of the day, for me, it's just a case of, here's what we would have to spend to rent equipment to be able to do what we need to do. We're going to hold the general elections, and we're going to hold any other elections. Here's what it would cost us to go rent the equipment we need. If we buy the equipment, this is how many elections it's going to take us to pay back this. And then we go with it. And if there's other reasonable uses, it's hard for me to get fired up about buying a piece of equipment that realistically we're going to use a couple times a year for this purpose.
Have ideas for it. It just, he thought, he has one, I have one, we, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine.
And Lucy, I think I'm coming down on your side on this one. I want to look at the numbers all the way through. I'm not a big fan of renting the trailer. I think renting the trucks, if we have to, let's do it. I think we're better off not relying on any rentals. I just want to make sure that we are appropriately using whatever dollars. And
if you want me to come back to a board meeting with more numbers.
I think you and Cal at some point come to a board meeting and we just figure it out. I mean, I think this one's really doable, Lucy.
I'm okay with that.
Well, that was the one thing that I wanted to have the discussion mostly about, was that particular one, and just understanding the rationale behind what advantage it would be on the long haul if we owned our own, and looking at what facilities has to offer and how they go about transporting those machines currently right now, whether it was going to be something that we could forego, or the other side of the equation was, if we're going to do it, let's do it this year, out of this year's budget, rather than plugging it into next year.
And I think that's the conversation we ought to have when Cal and Lucy bring it to
right.
us.
Right. Good.
Just some overall comments. My mic went off, sorry. You know, our budget always has peaks and valleys, and that's just because of the schedule that we're on. When we have school and city elections, we build those out. When we have general elections, we pay for that ourselves. It makes the cost sort of have these peaks and valleys on both the revenue and the expense side. But if you take out that sort of cycle and you look sort of every other year, it's pretty smooth. A general election, which we will be paying for in FY15, those costs have, you know, kept going up. Some of that is because every cycle we do more and more absentees. We mail those out. We also have election day registration now. On the back end, those voters, we have 45 days to process their paperwork. A really rough estimate is they take as much, probably 3 to 4 times as a regular voter, in terms of mail that has to be sent to them, in terms of administrative oversight, in terms of time they spend at the polling place. So we just sort of roll with the punches. We don't know what this legislative season will bring us. Hopefully no big changes for the November election, but you never know. So We try to budget accordingly. The code says that the cost of the election is the cost of the election. We're not allowed to put a ceiling on that, but we try to get as close as we can to the actual costs that we do. I do have some requests for some additional electronic devices. That is to have some free for training. Once we sort of pack everything for elections, we basically have exactly the bare minimum to go out, which doesn't leave anything over for anything that's broken, or any training that we could have between the time we pack for the election and when people want to come in and play with the equipment.
So that's the precinct atlas?
That's the precinct atlas. I got some of that is a lease cost. If we could, an idea that I'm exploring what other counties have done successfully is to have live results reported directly sort of back to the courthouse, which would eliminate the need for physical poll watchers in the precincts. Now they might want to poll watch for other reasons, but this... It's not to buy equipment, because I really am trying to get away from anything that I don't have to keep in a back room. I certainly appreciate your thoughts, your attitude on that as well. But if we have to have sort of air cards so that are set up Wi-Fi capability so that they can talk to the courthouse here, the administration building. And those are lease costs. I got those from Barb. She's been very helpful. And then also to have additional, like 10 additional laptops and their associated printers, et cetera, for training purposes and also backup. I've been talking to ISU as well to see if I can raid their computer graveyard for additional equipment. At our student precincts, we probably couldn't have too much equipment at any of those just to process the voters who are generally first-time voters, maybe unaware of their registration status, maybe are not even in the right place. I think everybody read about long lines at the polling place last year. That was nationally. I would like to try some things in this gubernatorial election, which should be pretty lively. We have an open Senate seat. The governor has just announced that he's running for re-election. But generally, we have maybe 50% turnout as opposed to like a 65% turnout with a presidential. So I would like to try some new things or some improvements this cycle, knowing that 2016 is going to be a very busy year on the election side, and anything we can do to sort of alleviate congestion at the polling places is appreciated.
Remind me how many computers we currently have.
I think we have 70.
We have 74, and we run 43.
We have 43 precincts. Okay. A lot of them just have one.
Right. And probably rightly have one.
Some have two. Some have three. The ones that have three could probably, they could use 10. I got calls on election day in 2012, why don't you send more computers out? And my response was a little more polite than this, but it's like, do you think I'm sitting on computers here? Like, why would I not deploy everything I had? I said, everything we have is out there and in use. I really don't like working with absolutely no backups, and that's why I had a conversation with ISU. Not only are they sort of adding something like 7% student population every year, I know that this November and certainly in November of 2016, we're going to have even more students than we had in this last presidential. So. That's why I would like to talk to them about using some of their sort of retired equipment for the short term. I mean, there are some security issues there. You want to make sure that they are up to snuff in terms of their operating system. So, it could be problematic. It's just one of the avenues I'm exploring. So,
just the need for 10. And I'm just throwing it out. I said, if you thought about it in terms of spreading it out over a 2-year cycle and taking 5 this year and another 5.
But that doesn't really let me practice, though, for this
right,
presidential.
So you want to be able to use, yeah, I see what you're basically saying. But no. Have you done you've already said that there are some precincts that could obviously use a few more because of the traffic flow and then some of the others. So you're probably going to have to use that same type of analysis. There may be a few areas that you're still going to get by with just the one computer, I would assume, based on historical numbers, turnouts,
et cetera. I'm looking mainly at the 6 precincts where I had 4,000 people register on election day.
Have you... factored in what is the approximate cost that's probably being there? Have you had a chance to look at some of those yet in terms of the actual cost of the equipment we're talking about?
Yeah, that's in my request, the 12,000.
12,000. So
it's like 12,800 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, estimate. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think that's – I think this is the way that people – are expecting to be able to come to a polling place and vote, and not necessarily stand in line. I mean, it's one of those things that 10 years ago that was what you did, but with the advance of technology, and if it's available, and you know, I think that's what it's a lot of it's all about is the more people that you can get to the polls, and the more people you can give the opportunity to vote. If you don't have to stand in line for an hour, and if you know that going into it, you're probably more likely to
exit. Yeah, I don't want to promise that people won't stand in line. I just want to be able to respond to that better and be, you know, flexible enough to say, oh, you know, we can.
Okay.
This is where we're, because, you know, the problems I anticipate now are probably not the problems I'll have. It's that's the nature of the beast.
Now you're obviously going to have to factor in the additional training. You know, we have a very experienced senior population of folks that have been there for a number of years. Some of them is not as technology savvy.
Yeah, this is actually created to for them for that population.
Okay.
I would love to get, you know, ISU students to work the polls. They just are simply not as reliable as our retired folks.
Right.
When they find out they have to be there at 6 o'clock and stay till 10, then suddenly, you know, academics become much more exciting to them, going to class. You know, what we've tried, people talk about half shifts, people coming in right for the close of polls, only at the busy times. Those are all options that are available, but then you're talking about, you know, essentially doubling the precinct election officials you have, so which is twice as much training, twice as many people to keep track of. We do accommodate people that sort of ask for half days, but that's not our preference, simply because it's easier to get somebody in there and keep them there all day.
Well, if I just off the top of my head, I could see the additional computers and the value of those looking at our election a lot easier than I can the trailer. I struggle more with that one than I would with the additional computers, because, you know, a few years ago with the change in technology and the voting, you know, and when we had to upgrade, you know, we knew it was going to be an expense and it was going to be a cost that we were going to have to bear. And I think you've given a lot of thought to how this whole process could be improved. And so I think, you know, the dollar amount there is certainly reasonable for us to look at. That's just my personal take on it.
Wayne, I think you're right. I think the trailer comes down to a simple dollars and cents calculation. It is what is it going to take for it to pay for itself? That's easy. Because we know we can still accomplish the task just by going and renting trucks. It may be a little more time consuming, but we can still get it done. So it's a dollar and cents. I view this one entirely differently. It's not reasonable to me that we're trying to run an election with the bare minimum amount of equipment that we have. We've got no replacements. We've got nothing that they can do training with once they get them out. And so I'm going to go one step further. I'm going to suggest that not only is it appropriate to get these 10 this year and go, I think it ought to be a component of our budget every single year, that you're going to have these things go down. 100% of them are not going to work 100% of the time, and we need to be prepared for that. Otherwise, we're going to just contribute even more to this peak and valley budgetary process that is the reality of an auditor's office. And so my suggestion would be, not only should we do this year, we ought to have something built in every single year to get additional equipment. Now, I did have a question about the Wi-Fi hotspots. Are you talking about getting 43 Wi-Fi hotspots? How's that going to work?
Well, this is the thing is, do we really only want to try it in precincts where they're hard to get the information out of people, or we have, you know, if we did it just at the Ames precincts? And I don't mean to put Ames up on a pedestal, but that's where we get a lot of the interest, because that's where the students are. People want to turn them out. They want to know who's come, who hasn't come. That's where the campaigns generally have their, you know, boots on the ground. So that's basically putting an air card into those laptops that we have, and then they can talk to, you know, probably Danny's computer here in the courthouse, and we can. What happens is then you give the the parties like a password, and they can check in and see against the list live who's actually checked in for the election and who hasn't. So, yeah. So, and yeah, and that's a good point. We could even have that displayed here if people wanted to sit here and watch, if they wanted to be, you know, physically be someplace.
Ultimately, that's where we're going to end up. Whether we end up there in the next 5 years or not, ultimately, that's where everything is going.
I wanted to sort of lease that stuff. Well, I don't need that all the time, but if
That's what I was going to suggest is that's
what the cost
hard
is.
For
yeah,
me
that's a
to
that's
pay
a
month to month.
Right, that's like a 2 month lease for stuff. Maybe right. It's less than that, but it's usually.
Well, I think there's a way, and we just
we might be
you're right
way.
Going to Barb. I think there's a way to just get a pay-as-you-go kind of air card, and then we know we're going to use them heavily on elections, and then we're not going to use them, but we're basically just paying for the part of it we're using. I think it makes perfect sense to do it. I don't know the cost right now, and so it's hard for me.
She said $45 to $50 a month.
Yeah, and that's not where I want to go. $45 to $50 a month times 40.
No, oh, time, you don't.
Well,
that's
40. If we go monthly, if you just
no,
go get
just
an air
just
card.
For that month that I need
that
them, I don't need them
need
12
so
months.
Maybe, yeah, she's just in just for the
I
month.
I think
she's been
currently
needed.
The sheriff.
It's and she gave me cost based on what the sheriff does.
He used those air cards through Verizon. There's no startup fee. There's no minimum.
Right.
Right.
You can get them and use them for 2 months, and then you can be done with them.
Right.
There's no contract. Right. And that's what
that's what I want. No,
that's it.
No contract. No.
That's,
yeah.
And yeah. I think you even get a break on the price.
That's where I got my cost from, based on what Barb knew that the
what
sheriff does.
Plugged in here is the full 43, or
yeah.
Not?
Yes.
It is the
for
full
all
43.
All precincts. Because having partial data. Yeah, that's always a really mixed bag. If you. Or why do you have their results and not mine?
So here's what I'm going to propose here. I'm going to propose that we pull the trailer out. We ask Lucy to visit with Cal and come to us to see about getting the trailer yet out of the FY14 budget, and we'll make a decision at that point whether that's something we go ahead with or not. I'm going to suggest that we plan on spending the $12,950 for the laptops, printers, air cards, and hotspots, but we break that up into two fiscal years. So we find the dollars for Lucy to go do half of it yet this year and half of it in FY15. Chair replacement, I hope that's at least two chairs you're talking about replacing.
Oh, yeah. What I'm also thinking, what I'd like to do is get some. We have temps working at the counter to help us when we have our over-the-counter voters. Something for them to sit on there. We didn't get new chairs when we moved up here. That's just some are just falling apart. So, yeah, we probably do one or two a year. Just arms break off.
Oh, I would.
Yeah, I'm not looking for those all steel number 19 chairs are really beautiful, but that's not what I was going to buy because then I would have to get 10.
So by my math, I'm saying let's pull $15,000 out of this. It's not $15,000 that we're taking away. It's $15,000 that we're committing to finding 6.5 of it this year. We're not committing to the $8,500 or whatever the trailer will end up being. We want to learn more about it, and we'll try to do it yet out of this year's budget.
And then it's... if I can talk about, you have designated funds for the purchase of new election equipment, which we anticipate doing in FY16, that you would put the same amount away again.
How much have we been putting away every year for that? $100,000 a year?
Yeah.
I think I asked for $150,000, and you've been doing $100,000.
Yeah.
And that's simply so we don't have a big hit to the budget in 1 year. That the overall cost is anticipated. And this is a swag because things like training, et cetera, are not, you know, I won't know until that's made, but probably $500,000. I think the companies are pretty comparable on prices. Our decision, which we will put out for RFP, will come down to probably what the absentee machine looks like. because that's really an ever-growing issue for us. Like, and we would have to get two absentee machines. Right now, those are interchangeable with what we send out of the precinct. Probably the next generation of machines probably won't be. So that'll be a change for us. And then a decision to make is we program our own ballots. We like that. Whether we will continue to do that will probably depend on the machine that we use, the kind of backup and that we get from the company, or how local are they, can they be here on election day, things like that. So a lot of big decisions coming down. We're trying to be mindful of that. A lot of counties are in the same boat, and we've been talking about that a lot at our auditor's affiliate as well. So there's a lot of good sharing of information. And Barb Steinbeck is, I've talked to her about it. She's come to some demos that we've had, and I'm keeping her in the loop because I just don't know some of that really technical talk. I want her to be able to decipher that for me and tell me what it really means in layman's terms, not salesman's terms. So
the reality is, every other year it's $150,000. I mean, that's what this budget's going to do. It's going to go up and down $150,000 every year. And that's exactly what we're talking about doing this year.
I'd just ask you to, when you and Cal sit down and talk, include Sue in that, because she's going to buy a horse trailer. And if we're going to buy two trailers this year, we can, you can go to the deal or something.
It was just, it was so convenient. So having one trip instead of two was where I was coming from. And I really noticed that this wasn't even on my radar, but when I build out the cities and the schools, I noticed how much cheaper it was for them. So that's not even our savings, but that's savings to taxpayers in Story County. So, and then I don't know what your feelings were on my personnel requests, Bob.
Well, this would not be the time to actually make that determination. I really haven't had a chance to talk to Alyssa about it yet. You have. We get these requests from time to time, and generally speaking, they've come from mostly elected officials regarding, their staff. There is a process of evaluation that Alyssa goes through and shares with you and gives us a little bit of a input regarding that. I think in order to try to be consistent in how we've operated in the past, I think we ought to stick with that format and a determination.
You did approve new staff for people in the budget work session.
Yes, that is correct. But I says when it comes to the reason I say this is this isn't the first request we've had, and we've had some in the last year, 2 years, and we have not granted those. Because there has been a process that we've gone through, and again, you're going to be asked to document certain things that shows that they are taking on additional responsibilities and all of these types of things. And as I say, I haven't had a chance to, visit with Alyssa about it, but I'm more familiar the years that I was chair. That we had the conversation when another elected office came to us with a similar request, and after considerable discussion and so forth, we did not approve that.
For me, Lucy, I agree with a lot of what Wayne just said. For me, what it comes down to is we don't know what the requests are going to look like yet this year. I mean, clearly, we went through this last year with a couple of our department heads, a few of our department heads, and the process we went through is we visited about it in the spring, we made a decision on what we were going to do, and it took effect in that last payroll period. Lisa, you correct me if I'm wrong, that last payroll period of June, which meant that in this case a 3% increase took effect in the last pay period of the fiscal year. So then any increase that was coming was on top of it, which I think is exactly what Lucy is requesting. And for me, what it comes down to is I like when we deal with all of these things at one time. We don't know what, if any, other requests we're going to get. We know that last year we handled it all in the spring, And so I'm going to suggest that that's exactly where we handle all of these requests. Again, Lucy, I didn't take your request as it was 3% immediately. It was just you wanted, going into FY15, you were looking for 3% in addition to any across-the-board raises that came
right,
up. Right,
yeah, yeah. It's separate from any cost of living adjustment that you may or may not do.
Yeah, and I just so we're all on the same page, I'm not comfortable calling those cost of living. I mean, if we're going true cost of living increase is about 1.2%. What we're talking about doing, what we've done the last few years, is an across-the-board raise of 2%, whatever, wherever we end up this year. And Lucy, that's neither here nor there. That's just my pet peeve. It's not a straight cost.
Oh, that's fine. I have plenty of pet peeves. A lot of them have to do with, yeah, terminology and language, so yep. I totally appreciate it.
But I do think it's valuable to have that discussion now so that we know what you're asking us to consider, and then we can begin to factor that in as we get closer.
I'm prepared to talk about it now if you'd like me to, but no. We don't have
to. Well, but I'm not prepared to give you an answer. That's what I'm basically saying. So we can talk all we want, but, you know, I couldn't vote to say give thumbs up or thumb down. I think there is merit, perhaps, to your request, but there's more documentation information that I think we need to have.
I would just encourage each of us and visit with Lucy about it.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is Alyssa's not going to be here until sometime in March.
Yeah, that's why I talked to her in October and then again in November, so to make sure that this was not...
I think it is. You can absolutely leave here today, Lucy, with the commitment that we will give it full consideration in time to be able to make any adjustment prior to FY15 starting. How about that?
Sure.
Okay. Good point.
Do you have anything else?
Oh, I had some. We have a new plat book.
I trade my old one in. Is there going to be value at all?
No, it's $20.
$20 for the new one.
Can I have mine today? Oh.
One unless you buy it.
I got my 20. Because I may not have it tomorrow. I don't have any other questions.
Before we close, I just wanted to say, you know, clearly, the three of us are really, really proud of Story County. We're proud of a lot of the things that go on in Story County. But it is absolutely clear as we travel around and talk to other supervisors and see the way other counties do things that we have as fine an auditor's office staff as anybody anywhere. And we really appreciate the work you guys do. I just think we're second to none. When it comes to the way we run elections, the way we handle real estate, we've got some complexity in both of those that other counties don't have to deal with, and our auditors and auditor and her staff handle it exceptionally well. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I think we're done.
Okay.
Yeah, we're a cost center, baby. We're the cost center.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started with the Board of Supervisors portion of the 2015 fiscal year budget work session. Since there are no revenues, we'll go right to expenses.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I may just make a statement. In previous years, when I was chairing the board, I was so thankful, and especially in the last few years when Alyssa came on board, how familiar she was with what we do in our office, and having spent time in the auditor's office, she was such a valuable resource in helping us look at putting together the information. Lisa can well attest that ours doesn't change a whole lot. It's pretty cut and dry in terms of the different things that we basically have to deal with, and a lot has to do with the revenue that's coming in through taxation, through property taxes, other types of things, other governmental funds, and any types of things that we might have. But I think you will find that there are a lot of consistency here, and one of the things that I think is always that comes to us for consideration is there are a few areas that we have requests from other entities that rely on the Board of Supervisors to help fund some of their programs or services. And in some many cases, we have kept things fairly constant. We've not necessarily shown any increase. A couple places, there's a possibility of making some slight adjustments based on recommendations that we receive. So I do think that those are the types of things that we may want to take a look at as we're going through part of our budget. But overall, I just wanted to acknowledge again Alyssa's assistance with us working with Lisa, and I don't know this year since she left before you took over, Mr. Chair, just how much you had an opportunity to visit with her on this as well.
No, she does a great job. I think that's one of those things she didn't know she was going to get to do when she came over, but she's done a great job. Not here. If we want to pick it apart, now would be the opportune time.
she offers
a
lot
of
great,
so just beware.
Great skill sets. One of the best when it comes to budget is she is as cheap as they come, and I really, really
trained her well, didn't they?
Yeah, I really, really appreciate that. I want to make one change.
Cheaper. I'm just going to say that.
I want to make one change in our budget. And as chair, when we were building this thing, I had the opportunity to go through and redline everything. So a lot of it, I think, well, Alyssa does an unbelievable job. I did have some input on putting this together. I look at the office supplies. I know how we are with office supplies with everybody else. I think it's only fair that we do the same with ourselves. You look at it, we've spent $533 at the time you put this together. We're probably up just a little bit beyond that, but not enough to warrant going all the way to $2,000. I'm going to suggest we make that $1,500 instead of $2,000. And again, then it's consistent with how we deal with everybody else.
Office supplies.
Office supplies.
Communication service, that's the increase for the
phones
system.
That's that's a pass of what Barb told us it was going to be.
Contractual labor, that's we made a decision here a while back to contract for our union negotiations, and that will take a large chunk of that. I don't know exactly where we're at with that, but I think that's a pretty safe number to leave in there. And there's a little bit of an increase maybe in dues and membership.
Well, we're expecting this year to spend $5 less than we budgeted.
Yeah.
Really modest increase. So that's where I am there.
Yep. Wayne, did you have anything else you wanted to add to that for our budget?
No, again, I just say I look at, in some of the other areas but as far as our budget is concerned, just to keep in mind, as I may have mentioned, when you look at education and training, the dollar amount that we have, I would be comfortable leaving it there, knowing that for this calendar year, my portion, I will receive some reimbursements from the Iowa Association of Counties, serving on the ISAC Board of Directors for my two annual trips. And so there will be a little less there. However, over the last several years, I've not always charged back all of the expenses that I've incurred. I assume some of those, and I will receive a partial expense allowance for some of those. So I'm not absolutely certain how I will deal with that, but I will make sure that any funds that is received through ISAC will be properly charged back to in the proper manner, and I will be in contact with Lisa on that to make sure that that's handled correctly when we do deal with that. But so I don't know if we want to leave that figure for now,
I think Alyssa went through this pretty tight.
Right.
You are the one of the three of us that that is on the boards and commissions that requires travel.
Paul and I mean, they pay for us to go to the ISAC conference. I think that's about it that we spend out of there. I know Alyssa had built in at least
for
one
her.
Conference for her,
right.
A training for her. So My suggestion would be, her and I visited about this, would be, let's just leave it there. She was pretty comfortable with it at $7,500.
Okay.
She dug into it really, really hard. And Wayne, you need to charge. You need to not be spending this money out of your pocket. If you're traveling on our behalf, the county needs to be paying for it.
Okay, that takes us to general county betterment.
I'm going to start with handing you from what you've already done in the work sessions.
Okay.
Good idea.
What it looks like right now.
That brings us to a negative 131 now in that portion of the. If you look at it across the top, 40% general county betterment runs right at $760,000 a year. So without carryovers, that's about what we should spend out of this, or that's about what we, that's what we have to spend out of this. I'm not comfortable assuming a higher tax.
No.
100% because that's where we're coming in.
Let me just ask the question. The county shifted the patrol vehicles out of general into the rural fund when?
The county shifted it ties to who, what they're for. If they're a patrol vehicle, then they've been paid out of the rural fund since 2001.
And that was done in 2001 because there was capacity in the rural fund to handle it.
In the 40%.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so what I'm suggesting to you now is, you know, it's all cyclical. Now there's not capacity to handle it. I believe it's time to shift this back out of the rural fund into the general fund. Tell me the downside of that.
This 40% is to be used at the board's direction for general county betterment. So it is a county home rule option. You guys can pay for any of this stuff.
And I'm not suggesting that it's inappropriate to pay for patrol vehicles out of this.
Right.
What I'm saying is we don't have the capacity to do it now. We need to buy the vehicles. Therefore, for me, it's fairly logical. If we don't have the capacity but we need to buy the vehicles, we shift it. And if capacity increases next year, we shift them back in.
And I think that's important to acknowledge because Lisa can remember this, and I remember, you know, we did have a lawsuit regarding the use of funds here as well as animal control and P&Z at that time. And it was very clear that our authority was upheld to do it the way we're doing it. And each year, as we've looked at this, we had the capacity to continue to fund, you know, that. I think it's well within our purview at this point in time is to make that recommendation, knowing full well that just because we did it this year, and if the board or whoever decides a year from now to shift it back, we certainly can do so. And
it's completely appropriate to pay them out of there. We just don't have the capacity to do it this year.
Right.
Yep. And it's at our discretion what we pay out of there. So.
Right. So
and you know you had large carryovers that was helping. Were
exactly helping. Right. Exactly.
Which I'm betting without you know this only runs back to 11-12.
Betting
that's the reason that in 2001 they were shifted into there because that was the line of the budget. And Wayne, I know that would have been probably your first
session, but my first year.
There was capacity to handle it.
And if you look at historically for, and I can pull the whole thing, I've got it from day one in here, but or from what it looks like from day one. If you look at it historically, the requests for the vehicles have been, well, as you can see in front of you, 34.7, then 170, then 73.5. Yeah. I mean, it's very cyclical also depending on what the needs are. So.
Right, that's true.
Well, the sheriff's indicated that ideally, he would need to replace seven or eight a year. as opposed to 10. So if we can get...
And this is 7. Right. 6.
6.
6. And while we're on that topic, real quickly, I have it as a note to myself. The vehicle purchase, when you guys talked about vehicle purchase with him, it was mentioned that he needed to that move one up, pay for it this year so he can get his 7.
Right.
What was your intent as to where he was to pay for that from? Because they're asking me that question.
I don't think we made a determination at that point. We were just looking at the overall factor that we had the capacity to do it this year. But that is a good question. You know, in previous years, it's come out of his budget. Now, it was either through the rural service fund, you know, based on, in other words, general county betterment versus
rural fund. If we're going to move one up, what's your intent? Is it your intent that he finds it in his budget to do so?
Correct. I kind of sensed that was our
thought process.
Okay.
And let me make sure that I remember our conversation accurately. The request was for 10 vehicles. When we left here that day, we had talked about buying 6 patrol vehicles and one of the other
detective cars.
Right.
I think since then the sheriff has requested that it just go ahead and be all patrol vehicles. Is that right?
Yes.
7 patrol vehicles, which that's fine.
Yeah.
But one of them very clearly was supposed to be done out of savings in this year's budget, out of his budget this year. And as far as what line it comes from, I don't. Yeah, he's the sheriff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my recollection.
find some more money to give to the soil conservation. They've been flat for quite a while at $5,000, and I don't think
I've been here 19 years, and that's what we've paid them every year.
You know, we've increased the historical societies, the libraries, and the fair, I think every year since this board's been seated. I don't think the work that those guys do is any less important than the work that those other groups do, so if we can...
$7,500.
They would be ecstatic at $7,500. So,
going once, $7,500.
And the chair in this case, Rick, had asked that I put in what 2% would look like to the libraries. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to have that discussion. If you're fine with that, that's what I put in there for discussion purposes.
I think that's a reasonable increase.
I think we need to talk the same thing, and I know it's not part of this, but we need to talk the same thing for historical and same thing for the fair when we get to that.
Yeah.
Anything else from General Fetterman?
That should get us to the good by what, 15,000?
12,800.
Okay.
And in all fairness, I think that this year will not be a negative 3,800. I think this year will be
about
zero.
Right.
Because I don't think we've ever gotten a request for 6,000 for tourism. It's usually 4,700, and I don't know what the Economic Development Group will ask for. So, haven't seen anything from them at all this year. Not even an initial first round extra projects that they usually do in the fall.
Yeah, I know they had that meeting. I'll call Jennifer and see where that is.
All right.
That would take us to countywide services, page 99 or 33.
Page what, 33?
Okay. Lisa, you feel good about all these revenues?
Yeah, I've been working on the revenues, and they'll get adjusted and tweaked a little bit more, but I do feel good about those revenues, yes. Real quick, before we go on, Deb and I did discuss again yesterday the mental health property tax relief, which is not really mental health property tax relief. It's more
state reimbursement, yeah.
Anyway, the number that I put in there, and this is in the middle of page 34, is what originally, or that's, we got 1.1 this year.
Right.
Okay? That's already in the bank. Her best indication is that we plan for the same amount next year.
But we don't know. So at the end of the day, when we start talking about a 285% ending fund balance at the end of FY15, the reality is, so that's about $5 million, right?
Right.
About $5 million. The reality is we better not count the 1.2 that we think is coming from the state.
Right.
It could be anything.
Right.
But whatever decisions we make needs to take that back out.
Right. And I think I noted in the conversations I've had with you leading up to the discussions, at this point in time, I'm showing a $100,000 transfer from the general fund to the supplemental fund to help it out.
Right.
To lower that, so we didn't need as much in that levy. That's something that, I, as far as I see, we work out as we work through the rest of the process.
Yeah, I think that's one of the last things we do once you get all the numbers. The one thing we did not talk about with Lucy on the auditor, and I actually think it's a great suggestion, is moving the election out of supplemental back into the into the general fund.
Right.
Which is another, what, 150?
100 and something.
I did mention that, but we didn't talk about
it. When it's all said and done, there's 50,000 we have put in the budget in the for overtime or for extra help, and 155 for the general election line item itself.
Yeah.
So
right.
We've got a little over 200,000 in the supplemental.
So I'm not saying we do it. I'm saying between that item and the 100,000 that we're talking about, that's going to allow us to really work on what that supplemental rate is.
Right.
Just
right.
As we see what all said and done, what the capacity
correct.
In the general fund is going to be.
Correct.
Okay. So can you just keep that in your cap and we'll work it through?
On my notes.
All right.
Anything else on the revenue side for that?
There's also a new business property tax, commercial and industrial replacement tax. It's in the middle, the description is in the middle of page 36. It's pretty lame because all it says is commercial and industrial replacement. At this point in time, the way I have to calculate it is based on our levies, so that's the amount I have in there right now, okay? That possibly will change depending on what our final levies are. And then the other thing that I wanted to point out that I'm putting nothing in for at this point in time is the business property tax credit. Lucy can probably talk to that more than I can, but my understanding is that the filings aren't even due in the assessors until the mid-January, now probably at some point.
They're January 24th, and then for this year, and then the succeeding years is like March 15th or something.
Deadline was yesterday.
Sorry. I have maybe reversing the numbers, but yeah, we didn't even know what the universe was while we were putting this together. So next year we'll know, but this year is...
So we're erring on the side of let's not put any revenues projection in there at all.
Knowing that we'll get something, we just don't know what.
Yeah, what I'd like to see, but when we come back, and I'm going to suggest that we get back together in this format right here just before we've got to send this thing out to publish. And let's talk with Wayne and let's figure out what a reasonable number to plug in there is, because I'm with you. We're going to get something. We just don't know what it is. We should be able to plug something in here that gives us some reasonable expectation.
That's fine.
And he's going to have a better idea here in the next 10 days, I think, what that's going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, their time has also been eaten up dramatically by the BPTC. This is, you know.
I'm done with my comments.
Are you sure? I'll give you one more opportunity.
Going.
Okay. expenditures for countywide services, page 39.
Paul, are we good on the medical examiner?
Can you ask that question in a better way?
I haven't heard anything else from him. So at some point, it would be reasonable to assume that that we'll have to do something different. If he continues to grow his private practice, then he has said that he wouldn't have the time to do this, and I don't know how you'd get anybody else to do it. So we'll end up contracting with the Polk County Medical Examiner's Office to do it. But
okay. But the 65 for this year, you're comfortable with that as our plug-in?
As far as I know, I haven't heard any. I didn't get anything from him this year like we did last year. So
I'm assuming his expectation is that we continue the quarterly stipend.
Yeah. We didn't hear anything from him. I would suggest we leave things just the way they are.
And I gave it a slight increase based on current usage, because not only does that include his quarterly stipend, it also includes all the autopsies that we end up paying for, which we, you know.
Those are all done at the state now anyway. I don't think he does any of them.
I think we've paid for one this year that he's done. Other than that, they've been all state, yeah. And the question that you got earlier about the it's not the next line. I was looking at multi-hazard, and it's not the same thing. That multi-hazard mitigation grant is going to be gone. It's going to be done by the time that this budget starts, so I'm hoping. That emergency management agency, the next line, I'm actually going to decrease that by $1,000. Apparently, they adopted a budget last night that asked for $1,000 less than this was.
Which page? Page 39? 39.
The
44 is where you can read about the explanations, Wayne.
Okay. Emergency management. Gotcha.
So
what was the total that they decreased that to?
202.
202.059, which is a little over, or about a 4% increase from last year.
Okay.
The office rent, is that for our share of the court and Fort Dodge?
Yeah. Western County.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where are we on asset? I'd like to increase.
I'd like to take that up by
increase asset.
About 15.
The 475 is what we reestimate, or is what the actual request is this year. What we've actually done. I just left it there. I didn't know what.
Yeah, and I'd like to take it. I mean, they're in the middle of their process right now, but I'd like to take that to 500 as our placeholder. So increase it by 25,000.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know if you guys have anything until we get down to historical societies, but I'm at historical societies now.
Yeah.
I want to go the same 2,500 that we just did for the soil and water conservation. And if you look right below, I want to do 2,500 again on the 4-H fair. So historical societies would be 23,500. 4-H fair would be 46,500.
Oh, and at the top of page 40, Paul answers that question. I was going to respond to Leanne about that. Yes, we do have money budgeted for the watershed.
Okay.
For current year and next year.
Explain to me one more time about the APR, the $200. We're required to have that in there?
They have not billed, obviously, since 12. Yeah. The Code of Iowa tells us we have to put it in there. I should go check that code section and see if it's changed. But they have not done inspections in Story County, from what I can tell, or billed out since 2012. Now, I can't imagine that large amount of money that they're getting from the counties would be something the state would pick up the tab for, but possibly they did. I don't know.
Congratulations to everybody in having the Justice Center paid off.
Woohoo!
Transfers into secondary roads, we do the minimum that we have to do. Is that accurate?
We do
the minimum that we have to do to reach the 75%.
My question to the board is the minimum enough? We don't have the capacity to put enough dollars in to really deal with everything Darren's dealing with. My question is, do we want to look at increasing over the minimum that we have to contribute?
Keep in mind that the way the rural fund looks right now, that would mean an increase in the levy to do so.
And I don't know if we want to do it then.
Well,
I just wanted to ask the
question. Part of, you know, we do the two minimums, and then we also do the 240 or 50 out of the lost dollars.
Right.
So we are supplementing it somewhat. We're just not going much above the minimum. 75% of the max. It's on the front page, Paul, of your budget. As what the minimum and the maximum is. Hold on a sec. It's a percent of the valuations.
Well, any increase that he would get, he could certainly put to use. However, you have to weigh that against.
Also on this one that you did. On the,
the maximum is 16 cents. Per thousand, and the general fund, which is $632,000 from the general fund, that's the max.
And if we did that, does that impact the rural fund?
No.
Okay. So we've got a little capacity just in the general fund without impacting the rural fund.
Right.
So the minimum on that is 400 and what's that number? 75% is 473. And I've got 471 in because it's a nice round number. The maximum potential max per code is $3.38 for the rural fund, which is $2.4 million. Our total levy right now, we're looking at $2.7 million. the 75% of that is 1.85.
Yeah, so I don't want to touch the rural services transfer. I want to leave that at right where it is. But I would like for us to look at increasing the transfer from the general fund. That's what I'd like us to look at. Tell me the numbers again. You're at 471. You said the minimum is really 473.
473.
Okay.
Oh, the maximum is 631.
Oh.
632 if you round.
But you can't round in this case.
Well, 631,980.
Can't round in this case because the code says this is the maximum rate you can levy. So 631,988 is the maximum dollar amount.
Based on what Darren has brought to us and your conversation, are you projecting that there may be certain areas that projects that...
Bridges.
Okay, and I guess that was my question, is... Or were you thinking in terms of specifically towards certain projects? Yeah.
I was not thinking of tying Darren's hands in any way.
Right.
But any dollar that we allocate, he's going to be able to use.
Right, right. Well, we do know there's a need in the bridges. I mean, he showed us that just the other day.
County infrastructure is one of the most important things we do. I believe that we have the capacity, and I'm not trying to give you a round number because really what it comes down to is it comes down to Lisa being able to plug in, here's the minimum levy that gets us the 473, and here's the maximum that gets us 650 or whatever it was. What I'm suggesting is we almost split the difference. We take it instead of being 471, which is really 473, we take it somewhere close to 550.
550. Yeah,
which gives our secondary roads an extra $75,000.
Right,
it's not enough to really do one project, but it will help free up, especially some of these repairs that we need to take care of on some of these bridges.
Well, that's just it. That would go a long way to repairing a number of these bridges that are in obvious need of it. So,
yep. Lisa, what do we do to ourselves if we were to try to take it to that?
we're looking at, with the dollars that we're adjusting here, getting closer to the 25% ending fund balance in the general fund.
Yeah, which is where we want to be anyway. We just want to make sure that we're using the dollars as appropriately as we can. I'm sure comfortable making the case that we need to be spending more on our secondary roads.
And I will, if you're good with this, or if you want to do it, I don't care. Talk to Darren about putting some of those dollars into his budget then, because, you know, as I told you when I first came to you with the preliminary numbers, he's looking at a 43% ending fund balance this year and 25 to 30 next year. So he'll want to put those into the budget and spend them, I think, as opposed to
right.
Sit in the fund balance.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, what I'd like to see us do, clearly we've made...
Now, we haven't talked about it, but in addition to bridges, have we given ourselves enough leeway through what secondary roads does in our drainage maintenance?
Well, the beauty about that is that's charged back to the drainage
right.
district, so it should
right.
be a net zero
right.
kind of function all
right.
the way through.
But in terms of, and what I'm not aware of is... We are floating those dollars until we receive the dollars coming back.
We cash flow it.
We
yeah.
cash flow it, and that was part of my...
I don't think he's got anything huge coming up. He said he's spent about what they can spend out there at Marshall Story 1, so...
Until we look at getting a contractor in to do it.
Okay.
Well, where I think we are is... I think we've got a really, really sound initial draft of our budget, but we're sending Lisa back with some adjustments to make, adjusting a few things up into FY14, making a couple of adjustments. Secondary roads is one of them. Shifting the cars out of the patrol cars out of the rural fund is another. Potentially shifting election from supplemental into general. And then that $100,000-ish, I'm going to call it $100,000-ish, dollars that we're talking about transferring from the general fund. I think what we need next is we need Lisa to be able to put together all the changes that we've made, and we sit down again, just like we started this thing where Lisa took us through one step at a time, this is where we are. We need to sit down again, basically have a callback of ourselves.
Right.
A callback of ourselves to see where we really are and be able to adjust where the capacity allows us to adjust.
Well, I'd also like to, again, revisit our visit with Cal and Alyssa again and take a look at the few dollars that we put in for safety, the safety committee. There's still some things that are being talked about countywide that they believe if we had the capacity to do it, this would be a good time to do it, and I'd like to have that conversation be considered before we finalize it all.
Well, the beauty about where we were when we sat down here 2 weeks ago is we did have capacity. Now, what I'm interested to see is, now after we've started shifting things around, I'm interested to see what it really looks like.
Yeah.
So between now and February 17th?
Well, is that when we have to publish?
Right.
No, February 18th, you have a staff meeting to hand back the budget. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'd just soon do it as soon as we can do it, but I want to give Lisa the time to really start to refine.
I mean, you did a great job putting numbers in. First week in February. I'd like to sit back down the first week in February only because that gives me time to do any other.
Perfect.
You figure out a date and let us know.
And what did I was just preliminary. We said 475 was going to and asset was going to go to 500, right?
Yep. And I would like to ask Wayne Schrickerath if by that time he can give us some kind of basic estimate on that business side of things.
And
that's a moving target. the whole process, but yeah.
I'm not suggesting we're going to get to a hard dollar, but I think I agree with you that there's going to be something, and I think it's reasonable that we plug a number in, even though we know that it is a moving target.
Anything else?
Now you
got an audience.
You have included already through Community Life. We were looking at the roof this year, and so that's already been.
I've already moved that.
Okay, that was the one that was coming to mind. Okay.
Would it be reasonable to assume that in this next session, during the first week of February, we'll have a discussion about wages?
Yeah, I'd like to look at two possibilities. I'd like to look at 2.5% and 2%.
Okay, and that's what I was going to ask. I have a list of things I want to know from you guys.
And I don't know where
you want me to
the bargaining units are at all.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I look at the numbers, and I think 2.5% is a stretch. It makes it hard. It puts us right against the cap capacity that we have. I think 2%, which is what we've done the last four times we've sat down here together, is reasonable. Like I say, true cost of living, you're talking about 1.2% right now. So 2% is above that as an across the board. But I really believe that when Lisa comes back with the numbers, we're going to see somewhere either in that 2 to 2.5% is what we're actually able to do.
Well, I do want you to know that my McDonald's double cheeseburger meal with a large iced tea did go up. There's a difference between Nevada and Ames in the cost. So
I didn't give you coupons for that.
I know. I appreciate that, too. Okay.
Don't tell Edna I'm contributing to your cholesterol.
Delinquency. That's right.
So,
I have other things. The questions I have are,
okay,
you talked about a microphone system for the boardroom, estimated cost of $35,000,
right,
and you want it for FY14.
Right.
If we do it. It would be out of
FY14.
Right. It would not be in the 15 budget. I don't know that we're going to do it. We just asked that
Barb
put it together and bring
look
it
at
us.
It. So that's
you don't want me to reestimate anything and put it in somewhere?
I think that's a conversation we've got to have on a Tuesday morning.
I think it's potentially a placeholder type of thing for us to at least consider, but we can't make that determination right now.
The naturalist position for conservation, I don't know how that was left. That never came through our HR. I guess I'm not sure what the...
We need to follow the process. It needs to be built into the budget.
Yeah,
we need to follow
it was definitely a recommendation from the Conservation Board. I know that was a considerable discussion earlier in the meeting, I don't know why it didn't get plugged in.
For budgetary purposes.
For budgetary purposes.
I had never had a conversation with
them. Because they believe that they will be able to generate, the revenue back for that position with all
some
the service. Some of it.
Some of the revenue.
Some
I
the
think
services.
that one was simply, and had a nice conversation with Mike. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. A nice conversation with Mike about it. And I think it was just an oversight that we were not in the loop on that conversation. I told him we need to make sure that we follow whatever process and procedures we have you are supposed to follow. But at least as you put the budget together, count on those dollars.
Looking at buying an animal control vehicle out of this year's budget, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Yep.
General fund, rural fund?
Where's the greatest capacity? Where's the greatest capacity? We could handle that just like we did the sheriff vehicles. If the capacity is there.
I'll look at it both ways.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's probably a general fund.
Right.
Lisa, but it'd be interesting to see where we are.
Somewhere probably in the low 20s. I think I told you that the other day. $23,000. They'll have to put a different topper on it also. This one here is about beyond repair, and I don't know that it would fit on a new vehicle. So.
And while I'm working the numbers, I'm going to look at funding structure of some sort for CIP.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
That's my list for today.
Do you have enough time between now and the 1st of February to put it together for us? Okay.
Just to do it on February 5th, because that's when we're having our annual township meeting. So.
Well, I just want to say, as my first budget session in this chair, I appreciate everybody's assistance. We all bring different strengths to the board. All you have to do is sit through one of these or listen to the tape to know that Mr. Sanders is our numbers man.
Yeah.
Clinton brings many years of sage advice to the board, and I appreciate your input on both ends. So, and everybody else out there, all the department heads and elected officials, that's a good budget.
Absolutely.
I think you got to underscore, Paul. The department heads and elected officials. This was the best initial budget we've had since I've been here. And I'll
best,
go even further.
It's the best since I've been here, too.
Yeah, it's
no question.
Well, there were several remarks that, wow, this didn't take very long at all, so on the individual work sessions.
And that's a credit to the people that put these things in, and a credit to Lisa. Lisa does a great job getting us prepared. And I think, I mean, you've been doing this, I won't say a long, long time, but you've been doing this a while. Didn't you think it was a pretty good budget that was submitted to you this year?
Yeah.
Well, I think what's important is the process, and I think when we look at where we ended up, when we asked departments, heads, the elected officials, offices, and so forth, to budget based on what they perceive to be actual needs and so forth, with some recognition and understanding that if we underestimated in some cases, they could come back to us rather than building into their budget, has allowed us to proceed in just an outstanding manner. And I think it's evident right now as we look at our capacity to try to do some of these things and make these shifts during this current year, which will lessen, some of the funding requests for next year, is a tribute to how careful everybody was in the entire process. It's not just us three of us up here. It's the total teamwork of all of our elected official department heads as well. So,
Wayne, I agree. It's a credit to everybody involved. I will say it's been encouraging to me. I think about the first year that the three of us sat down together, and generally the conversation was, well, this is what we budgeted last year, and so we want to increase that by X number of percent, and this is what we want to budget this year. And when we started talking about, wait a minute, let's don't talk about what you budgeted, let's talk about what you need, I saw the white of a lot of people's eyes. The questioning when we started talking about, well, and if we underestimate somewhere, the board will be here for you when it comes time. And I've seen the trust grow
I think you're right.
This year, I think we dealt with a budget where almost everybody we talked to came to us and said, this is what we need to provide the services to the people of Story County, rather than, here's what we had budgeted last year, now let's look at carrying that over and inflating it this year. And I just think it's the right way to work. I'm just really appreciative of everybody.
Okay.
With that, I think we will draw this session to a close. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Good.